I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll review the latest Winter Olympics action from Sochi. We'll bring you the latest from the racing world. It's week three of the Six Nations. We'll bring you the details from those games. And we'll look ahead to another fascinating weekend of Premier League action. But we'll start with the Winter Olympics. And it's been a terrific Olympiad for Great Britain. Let's get the latest from Johnny Hart.
Great Britain could make the Sochi Games the most successful Winter Olympics in their history. Team GB already securing four medals after the male curlers took silver against Canada on Friday afternoon. The women secured bronze in an exciting finish to the match against Switzerland. Here's women's skip Eve Muirhead.
When you look at our successes over the last couple of years since we've come together, we have been successful, and the one medal that we were missing as a team was the Olympic medal, and we've managed to get that, and I'm so happy. Like, you know what, these girls have put in so much work. It's great to know that everyone wants it as much as each other, and we're all pushing for each other, we all support each other, and for us to finish the Olympic Games on a high just makes it even more fun. And we're definitely going to go and enjoy these last couple of days, taking the experience and really enjoy it.
Well, the men took silver but had a disappointing finish to their campaign against Canada after being thrashed 9-3. But skip David Murdoch paid tribute to his team.
To be honest, it's an incredible team effort. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of training. There's been a lot of dark days, and now there's a good day. There's a silver medal, and that's just the most incredible thing. It's something I've chased for a long, long time. And although that's been a bit of a kick in the teeth today, I'm just proud of these guys.
Well, UK Sport invested £14 million to help Britain's teams at the Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games and believe Sochi could mark a breakthrough for British sport.
Well, rugby Six Nations is back underway. On Friday night, it's defending champions Wales against France in Cardiff. With a look at the rest of the weekend's action, here's Lee Peters.
Well, the Six Nations is back after last weekend's break with a huge clash at Twickenham coming up. First on Saturday, it's the apparent battle to avoid the wooden spoon as Italy hosts Scotland, with both teams falling to defeat in their opening two matches. But then Ireland are the visitors to Twickenham as England look to put a dent in their Grand Slam hopes. Stuart Lancaster's side impressively bounced back with a 20-0 win over Scotland at Murrayfield a fortnight ago, having lost by just 2 points in France the week before. Ireland have conceded just 9 points in their two games so far against Wales and Scotland, racking up 54 in the process. Let's hear now from the England skipper Chris Robshaw, who's been speaking to Russell Hargreaves on the RFU podcast.
Chris, a win, a narrow defeat in a massive, massive game against the Irish to come.
We've had two kind of tough trips on the road, unfortunately not getting that first one. But to be back at Twickenham now is a very exciting task, isn't it? It's one all the players are looking forward to, and it brings the best out of the guys.
It does, and obviously this Ireland team, Chris, they've been mightily impressive, haven't they? As just slowly Joe Schmidt has made some changes, two wins out of two. They're going to be a real fearsome opponent in pretty much every regard.
Yeah, they are. They've got kind of key individuals throughout the whole team and that wealth of experience. I mean, they've got Brian O'Driscoll, who I think is going to become the most capped man in kind of history.
Probably any sport.
Yeah, which is incredible, and they've got a huge amount throughout the whole team. So it is a challenge for ourselves, but we've also got to look at the experience we've got. The last two times we played them, we had a good win here and went over to Dublin last year and got a good win as well. Probably not the biggest scoreline, but a win over there nonetheless. We've got to look at that and think, okay, what went well for us those days? Why did we get those results? And bring that in as well.
The crowd, as we well know at Twickenham, absolutely brilliant. And we've seen, I think, a real kind of increase in that passion and that support, maybe even more in recent times.
Yeah, they have done. They've got behind the team, whether the men or women's side, and really got involved in the game. Of course, it's the old chicken and egg thing that, of course, as players, we need to perform on the pitch as well to give them something to cheer about. But no, at times they have been fantastic for us. You look at last time we were here, the New Zealand game, and got right behind us in that.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? And just one more technical question on the Irish. I was just looking, obviously, at the back row with Peter Amani, man of the match last time out. Chris Henry getting his chance and playing very well in your position. And obviously, Jamie Heaslett, that's going to be a great back row battle for you boys.
Yeah, very much so. Formidable throughout the whole team. And yeah, the back rows always seem to be pretty hard, don't they? But no, yeah, like you said, they've lost O'Brien, but Chris Henry stepped in and done a fantastic job so far. Omani, man of the match, competing well. They love that kind of hold-up tackle to try to slow things down. And obviously with his lip, that experience and the way he carries the ball as well. So, no, we do have our work cut out, but the whole team does, and we need to make sure we're on our mettle.
And just finally, all the confidence from you as the skipper and the team in Davey Wilson coming in for Dan Cole, we understand, and best of luck to him.
Yeah, very much so. of course, gutted for Dan to miss out, and it's never nice when a player does. But like you said, we've got Davey and Henry now who have an opportunity to go out there and put themselves forwards, both a lot of experience as well, especially in Davey, and who will be looking to go out there and impose himself. I mean, he started regularly for England, done well for Bath kind of all season, so no, full faith in him completely.
And now here's his Irish counterpart, Paul O'Connell, speaking on behalf of the Aviva Schools programme, who says it'll be a tough task to continue their winning run.
They're an incredibly physical side. You know, obviously work with Andy Farrell in the summer on the lines. They've brilliant line speed. You know, they really do put teams under pressure and force them to make mistakes with their line speed, and I think they're growing in confidence all the time, so it's going to be incredibly difficult for us. I think when we saw the fixture list, even though the second game was against the champions of the competition, I think, you know, all of us in the back of our mind, you know, would have been thinking we'd be in a very good place if we were 2 from 2 with 2 home games. But I think the competition now gets a whole lot harder when you go to Twickenham, and it's going to be a big step up.
Well, it's time to bring you up to date with what's happening in racing. Here's Charlie Owens.
Thanks, Kevin. For lovers of National Hunt racing, the next 18 days are effectively the calm before the storm. The storm being the 4-day Cheltenham Festival, which begins on Tuesday, 11th of March. Now, most of the important prep races for the festival are over and done with, but there are a couple of key races still to come, which will hopefully throw up a few more pointers. For instance, on Saturday at Kempton, in a race called the Dovecote Novice Hurdle, we'll get a chance to see the Paul Nicholls-trained Irvin in action. Irvin is highly thought of by his Somerset handler, and his main Cheltenham target is the opening race of the festival. It's called the Supreme Novice Hurdle. Although Irvin's unbeaten over hurdles, to win the Supreme, he'll have to improve again, because he's up against a formidable opponent in the shape of Vatour, who's trained in Ireland by Willie Mullins. Now, Mullins was the top trainer at last year's festival with 5 winners, and it could well be that the team he brings over for this year's challenge is the strongest ever. Amongst the runners from this powerful yard are Cuvega, who will be attempting to win the Mayor's Race at the festival for an incredible 6th consecutive time. And he also has the reigning champion hurdler in Hurricane Fly. And if he wins, this will take his tally of Grade 1 race wins to 20. That's quite amazing. Now, our reporter Mike Vince was over there this week visiting Willie Mullins' yard, and he talked with Willie Mullins' son, Patrick, who, aside from being a very decent jockey, is also very hands-on with the training. And he really would love to see Hurricane Fly cement his place in Cheltenham Festival history.
You know, he's been around for so long now. He's been top of the tree there for 5 years, and he's had a couple of injuries and came back. And, you know, to me, he's got everything. He tries his heart out every day. He's all the speed in the world. He stays really well. He jumps like a champion. There's no weakness in him. Hopefully, he can go back and do it again. Although, I think he'd be 10-year-old No Horse in Sea Pigeon has done it. And age stats are hard to beat. So that'd be my only worry.
Is it perhaps he hasn't had the credit he deserves? Because obviously, you know, for years it was all about Courto Star and Denman, wasn't it? And the hurdlers all got under the radar.
Maybe, but you know, I mean, Courto Star is a very, very special horse, and chasers probably hold more of a place in people's hearts. I think he's getting respect reserves this year. I think people have really appreciated how he battled the last day in Leopardstown.
What would it mean to the team here for him to win again?
Sure. I mean, it would cement his place in history. As I said, he's been around here so long. He's like the family dog. He's a pet. And it would mean the world now if he could do it again.
I mean, you could have one of the great Cheltenham doubles on day one, of course, couldn't you? Because not only do you have the Fly, but what, an hour and a quarter later? I mean, you could have Cuvega trying to strut her stuff yet again.
If she wins a 6th Festival win, which had never been done before, which is truly extraordinary, you know, to have 2 horses like that in our yard at the one time is very, very special. It could all go horribly wrong as well, but hopefully one of them can win. If 2 go in, it'd be stuff of dreams.
I know Dad's very happy with her. He was almost saying, well, it's ahead of schedule, was words coming out of his lips a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he's brought her back in a bit earlier this year, and, you know, she was in Punchdown 2 or 3 weeks ago, galloping, and she's just a little older now. She probably needs a little bit more work, but the enthusiasm is still there. It's all systems go.
Is it the case also that the fact she's able to go and try and do this is because she is so lightly raced? I mean, she's been winning Cheltenham on her seasonal debut, and I don't know, name me any other horse that's ever done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dad has done, I know she's a very, very good mare, but he's done a fantastic job getting her there, ready to win in Cheltenham first time every year. She was injured as a young horse, and, you know, we were told her career hung in the balance, and that's why Dad races her so lightly. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for managing her career like he has.
So what about the rest of the squad? The novices strong, and to my eyes, perhaps the hurdlers stronger than the chasers?
You know, we have Champagne Fever, Jack Adam, Felix Younger, Bally Casey for the novice chasers. That's a fair squad as well. But then obviously the likes of Vitor, Briar Hill and Faheen and the other three novice hurdles, it's really hard to comprehend how lucky we are at the minute. And I've no doubt it won't last forever, so we're going to have to enjoy it while it lasts.
That was Mike Vince talking to Patrick Mullins, and it's quite amazing that this stable is responsible for the first or second favourite in 11 of the 16 non-handicap races at this year's festival. No wonder that Willie Mullins is as short as 1-2 on to finish as Cheltenham's top trainer for the second year running.
Well, now let's switch our attention to the weekend's Premier League action. And Chelsea are hoping to maintain their title challenge with a home win against Everton on Saturday lunchtime. Everton have shown that, by and large, they don't fear playing the big boys. They played extremely well at the Emirates earlier in the season, drawing 1-1. They also, of course, won 1-0 at Manchester United. The Merseyside derby at Anfield didn't go their way. But in general, they've shown that they can get decent results on the road, so this will be a big test for Chelsea. At 3 o'clock, another title contender is in action. Arsenal up against Sunderland. Of course, Arsenal had a damaging Champions League defeat at home to Bayern Munich in midweek. Mesut Ozil missing an early penalty as the Gunners lost 2-0. And Arsene Wenger was asked if Ozil has got over missing that spot kick.
Certainly not, because 48 hours is a bit short to get over that, but it's part of a job as well, you know, to deal with disappointment and to show that you can respond to it.
Well, this is another big test for Arsenal, because Sunderland are vastly improved under Gus Poyet. They've been getting some good results of late, and they've also put in some decent displays away from home. So very important that Arsenal managed to come out of that with the 3 points. Two relegation-threatened sides go head-to-head in South Wales as Cardiff face Hull City. Hull have just been getting a few bad results of late, so they could do with a win just to get them heading back in the right direction. Cardiff in the bottom three really are desperate for a home win under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Just one win in the Premier League since the Norwegian took charge. Manchester City, another title contender, up against Stoke City, a team that they've not had the best of records against in recent seasons. Manchester City also had a defeat at home in the Champions League in midweek. They lost 2-0 to Barcelona. Martin Demichelis sent off in the first half in the act of giving away a penalty for bringing down Lionel Messi. After that game, Manuel Pellegrini, the Manchester City boss, suggested that the referee wasn't impartial, was biased against his team, and that because he was from Sweden, shouldn't have been reffing the game in the first place. Well, he has since apologised.
You lost again the way we lost against Barcelona. You are frustrated, you are angry, and of course, maybe I said something that I don't think in that way. That's why I apologise for what I said. I think that the referee is a very difficult profession.
There's a good old-fashioned relegation six-pointer at the Hawthorns as Fulham visit West Brom. Of course, Fulham have a new manager in charge, the German Felix Magath, who's a man who has an excellent record when it comes to taking over teams in trouble and dragging them out of relegation danger. And as he reminded the press this week, he's never suffered the pain of relegation as a manager.
I worked as a manager not only in the Champions League. I have worked with some clubs which were on the bottom, Stuttgart, Frankfurt, Werder Bremen, and I never relegated. I have always success with them.
Well, much has been made of Magath's harsh training regime and the fact that he can be a little bit erratic in his behaviour. But believe you me, he's a man that gets things done. His record is excellent. He won the double twice with Bayern Munich in Germany, winning the league and the cup. He also won a title with unfashionable Wolfsburg. So this is a guy that has a glittering career as a player as well. He won the European Cup with Hamburg in the 80s. But the key part of his record that we need to look at is what has he done with relegation-threatened clubs? Well, the fact is, every time he's taken one over, he's dragged them out of trouble. I happen to think he'll do that with Fulham as well, even though they're 5 points adrift of safety. They've got their £11 million striker Kostas Mitroglou likely to make his debut for the club at the Hawthorns, and I think Fulham will get out of trouble, and it might well start with a win this weekend. Elsewhere, West Ham take on Southampton. West Ham in great form at the moment, playing really well under Sam Allardyce, defending superbly. And Manchester United with a very tricky contest in the evening game on Saturday as they go to Crystal Palace. Of course, the Eagles have been playing very well at home under Tony Pulis. They've been winning games, so that is a real test for Manchester United, who of course will have one eye on next week's Champions League game against Olympiacos. And there are three games to look forward to on Sunday. Liverpool at home to Swansea. Liverpool have generally done pretty well at home against what you would class as inferior opposition, teams that are well below them in the standings. And Swansea, of course, will be tired from their midweek exploits in the Europa League, so I can see a comfortable win for Liverpool in that one. Elsewhere, Newcastle desperate for a win. They're well clear of the relegation zone, no problems there. But Alan Pardew under pressure after a dreadful run of results. Newcastle at home to Aston Villa, a team that's just on the fringes of the relegation dogfight, will probably be okay, but a bad run of form could see them sucked back in. And then two teams that need 3 points for very different reasons. Norwich against Tottenham. Norwich sinking towards the bottom of the table after a poor run, really, and they were desperately disappointed not to pick up a result at West Ham recently, a game in which they made plenty of chances. They're at home to Spurs. Spurs, of course, very much in the shake-up for a place in the top four and Champions League qualification. Well, that's it for this week from myself, Kevin Hatchard, and the rest of the team from the Ultimate Sports Podcast. It's goodbye for now.